Now, let's continue on here. This is part B of Can Satan Inspire? Let's come to verse 12, because verse 12 becomes a very key verse, which shows a division which relates to Satan and God. Verse 12. Now we have not received the spirit, pneuma, which then means spirit of the world. Now who is the prince of the power of the air that deceives the world? Satan. Does he do it with spiritual power that he has? Yes, he energizes inner working, which means inspires to spiritual, satanic spiritual things, or emotional. And that's why when you watch these elections and so forth, when there is something very, very inspirational, well, let's go back and let's pick on poor Adolf again, since he's dead. Did he inspire the German people? Yes, he did. Was it of God or Satan? It was of Satan. Were they inspired within to do? Yes, they were. That's the spirit of this world. See? Now, that comes from Satan. The opposite of that is, you have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of or from God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God. So there's the division. See. And that's why when you are baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, it's called the circumcision of the heart, because it changes the heart and the mind so you can receive the things of God, which with a carnal mind you could not receive. Verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit and written down in the Bible, in order to communicate spiritual things by spiritual means. Satan is a spirit being. He has spirit power. So the power that comes from him is his spiritual power. So he is the one behind the spirit of the world. God's Holy Spirit comes from God, which is the power that he gives to us to beget us within our minds so that we are his children. See? So it is, pneuma describes the power, and the Holy Spirit describes God's. The spirit of the world describes Satan's. Okay?
But both words are spirit.
Yeah. Pneuma. I'm looking at it in the Greek right now. Verse 14. Now the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned by God's Spirit. But he will receive the things of the spirit of the world, because that comes from Satan. Now, let's come to Romans, the 8th chapter, and let's see what is also added to this, not just the spirit of the world, but what does the spirit of the world that comes from Satan, the devil, do? Well, let's pick it up here in verse 14. Verse 14. Here again, we are talking about Spirit of God and us, and then we're going to see something more about the spirit of the world here in just a minute. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now you come back here to verse 9. Let's pick it up here. Now you are not in the flesh. That is as God views you. But in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is indeed dwelling within you. So this shows repentance, belief, baptism, obedience, all of that. That's how you get the Spirit of God dwelling in you. Now, here again, we're going to see the spiritual dividing line. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to him. But if Christ be within you, the body is indeed dead because of sin. However, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is dwelling within you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies because of his Spirit that dwells within you. So then, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh, which is lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the things willed by the mind, by the emotion, and all of those things, you see. But if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. So this shows the whole process of overcoming. So once you are converted, then you are in the process of putting to death human nature, which you could not do before. Didn't even recognize it. Now God gives you the tools to do it. Now verse 14 again. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now notice verse 15 very carefully. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage again unto fear. Spirit of bondage. That is a spirit of sin. That's what that is. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned, you can go back and read it in Genesis 3. Why did they hide themselves? Because they were afraid. They had the spirit of fear. How did they have the spirit of fear? Because they sinned against God, and now they had the spirit of fear and bondage to whom? Satan. See, so this is what he's talking about. So it's a spirit of the world. It is the inner working of Satan. It is the spirit of bondage. See? But you have received the spirit of sonship whereby we call out Abba, Father. Then it goes on showing and contrasting the difference there. Now let's see some things concerning Satan. Let's come to Acts, the fifth chapter. No, let's come to John 13. John 13. Now there are two ways that Satan inspires a person. John 13. And there is another means by which he totally controls that individual. Now let's pick it up here, John 13 and verse 2. And during supper, now parenthetical statement, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, that he should betray him. Now that's the spiritual direct inner working with the thoughts and mind of an individual, in this case Judas Iscariot. So in that sense, can Satan inspire in his way? Yes. But can he inspire in the way of God? No, because the way God inspires is God breathed, which is totally different. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he inspires by putting into the hearts of people. It's like he did with Judas Iscariot. Now let's see what else, how else Satan can do this even more. And Jesus told the disciples there that he was, one of them was going to betray him, and so they all wanted to know. And so John finally asked Jesus, verse 26, and here Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I shall give a sop after I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Now this is demon possession, or in this case, Satan possession. Now you can read in the Gospels and also in the Acts how Jesus cast out demons and how the apostles cast out demons and so forth, and that is a special thing, which is a spiritual accomplishment through the name of Jesus Christ to get rid of evil spirits. Okay. So you have Satan putting into the heart. So he can do that. Have you ever gone along and all of a sudden you're thinking really good things and all of a sudden, bang, here comes some wretched, miserable, evil thought totally out of the blue. And you say to yourself, where did that come from? Well, as we'll see a little later on, that's kind of like a little missile of Satan the devil. So you cast the thought out. See? Now, let's come to Acts, the fifth chapter, where I said to go before. Now, here's a very good example of how Satan appeals to lust, to lying, to cheating, for a benefit. Satan always likes to hold out the benefit. Now, every time I drive up here on Highway 680 between the Benicia Bridge and Cordelia, they have a Cache Creek sign, and it says, the most winning slots of any casino. Someone driving up, oh boy, I'm going to the right place. I've got me $2,000 and I'm going to win a lot of money. And he comes home broke. But it appealed to the lust of the flesh. Okay? Now notice. And if I go gamble and I win big, I get a benefit. See, and so many people win that they have Gamblers Anonymous to handle the majority of people that never win but lose everything. Okay. Now, here's an example. Now, a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a possession. And here was the agreement. They said, oh, all right, we all need to have things so we can stay here and we can all fellowship together, we can learn of the apostles, and so we'll sell whatever we have and we'll give to whoever has need. And whatever we sell it for, we will give. So here they sold their property. And apparently they got more money than they thought they would get for it. Never attributing that to God as a special blessing, they could have gotten less. But they got more and kept back part of the price for himself. Now, hold your place. Well, you won't have to turn there. But you can go to Matthew, the fifth chapter, where Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. So if you commit yourself to God to do something, yay, you better not change your mind and say nay. See, even Solomon said, it's better to vow and pay it than when on your way to pay your vow, you change your vow. See, so it's the same thing. So here, they got more money, so what did they do? You have to read between the lines, see? Kept back part of the price of himself. He says, oh, look, we thought we'd get, just to use a figure, we thought we would get $50,000 for this, and guess what? We got $75,000. So let's keep back the 25, and we'll give the 50 because we told them that's what we thought it would be worth. See? A benefit, right? If you have an extra $25,000 for yourself, is that not a benefit? But it is it a true benefit? Or is it based on lust and pride and so forth? Kept back part of the price himself and his wife also being aware of it. So they agreed to this together. And he brought a certain portion and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Satan can put into people's hearts and minds. Now, one of the most effective ways that he does this today in the entertainment is rock concerts, where the music is blasted through your mind and your body and your thoughts and your whole being, that he controls you through that. He doesn't have to possess you, because now he's got you hooked on it. And just watch some of these things at these rock concerts. They're all out there, back and forth. And how does he also control them? Not only with the beat and the music, but also all of the lust of the flesh, the lust of sex, and drugs, and at every one of these concerts, what do they have? They have rotating, flickering, on and off lights, and those hypnotize the people. And those things invade the mind. These are part of the devices of Satan. Part of what he's controlling is the spirit of the power of the air. Now, Ananias and Sapphira didn't go out and go to a rock concert and then change their minds. So, you know, this is not what I'm saying. I'm just using this as an example of how Satan can control. But he puts it into the heart. In other words, Satan inspired that thought. Just like Satan provoked David to number Israel, which he had a mighty high price to pay for, right? And also remember this, that account back there in 1 Chronicles 21. When the leader of a nation sins, the public pays for it. Because of David's sin, 70,000 people perished. Now, you can take anything that a government does and look at how many people perish because of their actions, especially in wars and things like that, and you know you're dealing with the same thing. Verse 4. Kept back part of the price of the estate. Before it was sold, wasn't it yours? And after you sold it, was it not in your authority? And it means, was it not in your power? And this has the implication, according to what you pledged, what you said. Why did you contrive this thing in your heart? See, so there's a joint agreement with Satan. Satan put it in his heart, but he also contrived. Satan put it in his heart to keep the extra, and he said, now that's a good idea. Yes, let's see what we can do. You have not lied to men, but to God. Now, here's quite an example. Aren't you glad that this doesn't happen when you tell a lie? And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and expired, and great fear came upon all those who heard these things. Then the young men wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now, it came to pass about 3 hours later that his wife also came in, not knowing what had taken place. And Peter said to her, tell me if you sold the estate for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said to her, why is it that you agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they shall carry you out. And she immediately fell down at his feet and expired. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. Wow. Next verse describes it. Then great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard these things. And the rumor went around, never argue with Peter or you're a dead man or woman. We can just add. Now, let's come to Ephesians 6, and we will end here. Now, there are other things we can bring out about Satan, but what I'm trying to do is with this is just show you that, yes, Satan can inspire in his way with his spiritual power, but the truth is you can overcome. Let's go to Ephesians 4, and then we'll end in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 4. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 22, Ephesians 4 and verse 22. That concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Because it says there in chapter 2 that they were living under the prince of the power of the air. And remember, Ephesus was what center? What great temple was at Ephesus?
Diana,
the goddess of the Ephesians. And that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which according to God is created in righteousness and the holiness of truth. Therefore, let each one put away lies, we're to overcome it, and speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are members one of another. That doesn't mean to speak the truth so harshly that you slay them with meanness. Do you know what I'm talking about? See? Some things you just forbear. But when you speak, speak the truth. When you become angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, because verse 27 tells us why. Neither give place to the devil. So if you harbor anger, and of course, the way to have the worst, most miserable night of no sleep is to go to bed angry and lay there, toss and turn and toss and turn and run the thing through your mind back and forth and up and down and around and get yourself all worked up in a frenzy. I know one time I did that. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, as I've said several times, I sat straight up in bed and I said, they can't do that. And I sat there and I said to myself then, they've already done it. That's stupid. Okay? Don't give place to the devil, because he's waiting. Let the one who stole steal no more. Let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so he may impart something to the one who has need. Do not let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth, and that's a lifetime project, but that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to those who hear. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Here are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness, indignation, and wrath, and clamor, and evil speaking be removed from you, together with all malice. Why? Because all of that comes from Satan the devil, right? Yes. Verse 32. And be kind and tender-hearted toward another, forgiving one another, even as God has also in Christ forgiven you. Now, Ephesians 6, and we'll end it here. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the might of his strength. Let God help you, lead you, watch over you, protect you. But we have our part to do, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, that's panoply. That is protect and covering. Now, I was watching Dirty Jobs the other night, and his dirty job was to walk out on the lava and walk up to where the lava is flowing very slowly. See? And take a sample of it. Well, he had to put on the whole armor against the heat. So he had all of this silver and insulated head cover and gloves, and all of his dress had that on it. And that was to protect him from the heat, which can be as high as 3,000 degrees in the center of that lava. See? So this reminds me of it. Put on the whole armor of God, see, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Not flow, not bend with the flow, you see, but to stand against. Because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're just not dealing with human nature alone. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual power of wickedness in high places. And again, think about this verse as you watch the political things take place here in America and also in the world. Because that's what you're watching take place, you see. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. See, because we have to be able to resist, as it says, not fall victim like Ananias and Sapphira. See, you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having worked out all things to stand. That's the second time he says stand. Then he says, verse 14, stand therefore. Okay, are we to stand against evil? Yes. Are we to stand against this world? Yes. Are we to stand against Satan the devil? Yes. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. In other words, clothed with the word of God. Wearing the breastplate of righteousness. Now, why is it the breastplate? Because righteousness comes from the heart and the mind, and the heart is the emotional seat of our mental abilities, as it were, and the mind is the place for the rational thinking. So we have to have our heart protected, because we need to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. So that's why we need the breastplate of righteousness. And righteousness comes from loving God, keeping His commandments, having God impute to you His righteousness, which is greater than yours, which He will do, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, always doing the things that are in the gospel, as it were, and walking, if you're shod with the right things of God, you're walking in the way of God, you're walking in the truth, so forth. Besides all these things, take up the shield of faith, with which you will have the power to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, where is he aiming? Verse 17, and put on the helmet of salvation. He's aiming at your mind, at your heart. He wants to make an inroad to appeal to your lust. And the first thing will come along will be, well, I can enjoy this for a little bit, whatever it may be. Or, well, that's not so bad, is it? See, put on the helmet of salvation. Don't let those thoughts come in. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why on the Sabbath it's so important we study the Word of God. God is talking to us. In other words, spiritually, God fellowships with us every time we study His Word and are willing to yield to God and live by God's Word. That's something, maybe you've never thought of it that way. But especially on the Sabbath day. Praying at all times with all prayer. Now that's an earnest thing, isn't it? At all times. Also says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. And that means all during the day you're asking for God's help. Regardless of, you don't have to be on your knees to pray. You can pray while you're working, you know, just quick short prayer during that time, and supplication in the Spirit, and in this very thing be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we have protection against Satan the devil that the world does not have, that the world does not understand. And every good thing that comes into the mind of people in the world may not come from God. Matter of fact, it probably comes from Satan. And so we'll talk a little more sometime later down the road how Satan uses good-looking and sounding things to entrap you. And then you are in bondage. Okay, so that's how Satan inspires. Not as God does, but Satan has a spiritual power to implant into the mind and to put thoughts into the mind. God's spirit has the power to convert, which Satan doesn't. Satan's spiritual power leads you to sin. God's spirit has the power to convert you and lead you to righteousness and to goodness and to holiness. That's the difference. This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442.